Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My pleasure, as always. It's President's Day, and what better day? Well, it actually might have been a better day to have Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, on the show. That would have been last week on his birthday, but he was pretty busy. He wasn't able to make it last week, but he is here today on President's Day, and I'm very excited. As you know, he's been our guest before, President Lincoln has. He's been on the show before. We've talked to him about a number of things. He's recited a number of his famous speeches. He's promised to do at least one of those again today. And ladies and gentlemen, here it is, President's Day, and our guest this first segment is President Abraham Lincoln. President Lincoln, and welcome back to the show.
And thank you for having me again and again. I'm glad that my welcome hasn't worn out with you.
You're always welcome here, Mr. President. And I want to say happy birthday, by the way, for last week.
Thank you. When you get into your 190s, well, there's one good thing about it. There's no peer pressure.
Exactly right. And you keep having to. That's exactly right. That's a good point. President Lincoln, one of the things that I love hearing you do is to recite the address that you gave at the consecration, at the dedication, I should say, of the Gettysburg, the funeral, the cemetery at Gettysburg, and you had just heard a blowhard speak for probably an hour or so, and I understand that you scratched out your speech in a very short time. And you thought it wasn't that going to be that big a deal, but here it is all these years later, and we still love it. Would you share that with us now?
Yes, I'm glad that you ask. I would like those who are listening to in their minds, visualize Gettysburg. It's a crisp November afternoon, and they've asked me to make a few appropriate remarks, and this is what I said at Gettysburg. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We're met on a great battlefield of that war. We've come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It's rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they here gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Well said, President Lincoln. After all these years, those are still magical words, still beautiful words. In those days, did you really believe that we were still living an experiment?
Yes, I did. You see, up until that time, every republic that had ever been created in history had eventually committed suicide. One faction would become unhappy with the other, and it would disintegrate. And I wanted to demonstrate that the people were able to govern themselves, that they didn't need a king or a queen, they didn't need a military leader or nobility to rule them, that we, the people, were capable of ruling ourselves. And that's the reason why, at the close, I said that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
And we've got to have people who actually stay engaged and stay involved in the process. That's the key, I think.
That President is right. Lincoln, government is not they, it is we.
That's right. President Lincoln, I know you got other things you got to do. Thank you for being here on President's Day. We always enjoy having you here.
I love being with you.
President Abraham Lincoln, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll be right back with Gene Griceman after these messages. Stay with us.
Well, I was moving down the road in my V8 Ford. I had a shine on my boots. I had my sideburns low. With my New York brim and my gold tooth display, nobody give me trouble.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and glad you're here. Glad Gene Griceman's here, too, by the way, folks. Gene is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and the author of so many books on communication, on time tactics. One of them is called Time Tactics of Very Successful People. And one of my favorite books that he's written, folks, is The Words Lincoln Led By. It's just, my copy is dog-eared, and I've got all kinds of notes and sticky notes and all kinds of things, and I use it all the time. Probably the book I've quoted more than any single book in all the hundreds of pieces that I've written over the years, I probably quoted Gene and his words with complete attribution out of The Words Lincoln Led By than any other book. I'm glad to say that Gene's with us right now. Gene, welcome back to the show.
Yes, and thank you for saying that. In fact, if you would just send over what you just said, I'll put that on my website, presidentlincoln.com, and you'll be there for everybody to see.
Forever and ever, right? That. No, I was going through some things I was looking for. I was doing a search, Gene, of some of my Lincoln things to do for his birthday last week.
Yeah,
as you know, and by the way, we enjoyed having the president on the last segment, and we were glad to be able to wish him a happy birthday. But
I'm glad I could get him over.
Yeah, I appreciate you helping us out with that. But anyway, I was going through my doing a search of all the stuff, and I thought, my goodness, how many things did I reference Gene's book in this? It was on and on and on. One of the things that we know about Abraham Lincoln, Gene, one of the many things that we know and admire about him was how he communicated. What a great communicator he was. I mean, a lot of people call Ronald Reagan the great communicator, but maybe he was the great 20th century communicator. Surely Abraham Lincoln was the great 19th century communicator.
There's no doubt of that. In fact, I got intrigued by that whole concept of Lincoln as communicator a number of years ago when I first started doing the one-man play. And I wrote a script and acted in a training film called Lincoln on Communication.
Mm-hmm.
You can still get that. In fact, if you do a Google search, Lincoln on Communication, that comes up number one. And I talked about 10 reasons Lincoln was a great communicator. But here's the point. There never was a great leader who was not a great communicator.
Mm-hmm.
Never. It's essential. And you know, this is a small business advocate. A lot of people think, well, you know, I just have to know how to make money. Well, if you want to be a great person in business, you have to learn how to communicate both with your customers and with the people who work for you.
The best leaders I ever knew were great communicators, and not all of them had the same education.
Some of them
had much less education than others, but they had an ability to communicate, and they had an ability to get other people to follow them.
That's right. Now, one of the points that Lincoln had, of course, only 1 year of schooling, but he was great. He was a continual learner, but he was a great communicator. And you don't. I don't think you become a communicator by accident. I mean, you might have natural gifts, but Lincoln, when he was young, was looked upon as shy and inarticulate. And he joined a debating society so he could learn to stand up on his feet, sort of like Toastmasters today. Mm-hmm. And he also studied letters and speeches of others. You see, there's a rule of success, and that is if you want to be good at anything, study somebody who's good at it. And even as a teenager, he would go over to the courtroom and listen to good lawyers go at one another.
Mm-hmm.
So he was studying all the time how to be a good communicator.
You know, if someone came up to me the other day and said, you know, how can I become a better writer? What books do I need to read to become a better writer? I said, well, there are a couple of books that I'd recommend, and I gave them a couple of them that I recommended. Mm-hmm. T.S. White's is it T.S. White's Elements of Style? I think that's was it Strunk? I forgot. But anyway, that went in
Strunk
another one. But I said, the other thing to do is read what other people have written who are good writers.
Yeah.
If you want to see a good way to write, read how other people who are good writers write. And it's the same thing with speaking, isn't it?
I agree totally. Study people good. And by the way, as far as writing today, you need to pick good writers who are writing today. A lot. I get great ideas from writers of the past, but if you're not careful, your style will sound antiquated if you're mm-hmm. modeling yourself on a writer 300 or 400 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get away today, if you want, I can give you about 6 or 8 of those basic principles.
I would like that. Let's get started.
That Lincoln used to be successful, but that you know, I don't want to interrupt. I'm just
No. That's where we are. Go ahead.
All right. Let me give the first principle. And the first principle or a rule is, if you want to communicate successfully, you must have something to say. Communication is sharing. You cannot share what you do not have.
There's no
substitute for knowledge.
Or sometimes people have the wrong stuff. There's a friend of mine. A friend of mine was talking about somebody he knew, and he said, you know, he says blah 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 when blah would be enough.
Well, I'm going to get to that point.
Well, I want you to hold on to that one, though. We got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to come right back and talk about some of these key secrets, the 7 secrets of communication that Abraham used to be the great communicator that he was. And Gene Greisman is the guy who's going to bring us that right after these messages. It's 10 till. And by the way, his website is presidentlincoln.com. Welcome back. It's 7 till. Little Fleetwood Mac for you there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend, Gene Greisman. Dr. Gene Greisman is our good friend and the author of The Words Lincoln Lived By, wherever books are sold. Also, Time Tactics of Very Successful People, also wherever books are sold. Sometimes you'll see his name is B. Eugene Greisman, but sometimes Gene Greisman. Also, Path to High Achievement and the DVD that's out now, Gene, on the Secrets of Communication by Abraham Lincoln. That's out too, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it's called Lincoln on Communication. We're having a great run with that. People
it's a DVD,
it.
Right?
Yes, it's a DVD and soundtrack.
Yeah, so check that out, folks. And that's wherever books are sold and at presidentlincoln.com. Gene, we're talking about some of the secrets of communication Abraham Lincoln used. Number 2, you say use stories.
Well, yes, use stories. And Lincoln, of course, used stories to illustrate points. People remember stories.
They love stories.
And a lot of people say, well, I can't give a speech. Well, you can get up and tell a story. Now, there's one thing to do about a story, and that's the point Lincoln would make, and that is edit it. Leave out unessential information.
And don't take too long.
don't take too long. People don't, especially if you're telling a joke, don't tell a long joke, because if it doesn't work, they're going to hate you.
That's right.
The third principle is be credible. You can fool all the people some of the time, Lincoln said, or some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time.
Right.
And so you want to be credible. In my Lincoln one-man play, Lincoln says, my life, my career was aided because I came to be known as Honest Abe. Mm-hmm. It would have been far different had I come to be known as Crooked Abe. And you see, your name is your brand, so you have to be credible.
That's exactly right.
The next point, and I'm just going through the script right now, so to share with your people, use humor. Now, it doesn't mean you have to tell jokes. You can tell funny stories. And then the next point, ask questions. Questions, especially in one-on-one communication, is one of the most effective ways to communicate.
Well, and also to find out whether you, number one, where the person you're speaking to or the people you're speaking to, where they are in this particular topic you're having, your conversation we're having with them, and also to find out whether you're making any progress or not.
That is exactly right. You can use questions to gain information. You can use it to guide a conversation. Often the other person won't even know they're being guided. But by means of questions, you can get them to think about a subject that they might not have even thought about previously, or lead them to look at it in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln used questions.
I want to come back to the humor thing. Everybody's not good at humor.
That's right.
If you're not good at humor, leave that one out.
Leave it out, or if sometimes a funny little illustration can work, and you can learn to use humor. But humor, you're quite right. Don't use it if you're not good at it.
And if you want to get good at it, if you'd like, in my opinion, Gene, if you want to use humor and you don't know where to start, I say use the self-deprecating kind.
I'll give you an example.
Poke a little fun at yourself.
You're exactly right of that. In my introduction, which I always have a worked out introduction I give people who introduce me, and it says, when Gene Griseman was a young boy, he had a great goal. He wanted to play. He wanted to be a big league ball player. In fact, just one thing kept him out of the major leagues: no talent.
That's right.
And I tell people, if you will pause after you say, just one thing kept him out of the big leagues, pause and say just two words: no talent.
Right.
The audience will always laugh. But now, can you believe that some people feel they need to improve that?
Right.
And they'll say almost no talent.
Right. Oh, they can't leave it alone. That's exactly right. Gene, I got 30 seconds. One more secret.
All right. One more secret. Know your audience. If you want to be an effective communicator, you must know your audience. In fact, one of my favorite quotes, it takes two to tell the truth, one to speak and another to listen.
I heard a guy who was paid a big fee, a huge fee one time, speak to a group of chambers of commerce, and he didn't even change his references from corporation to chambers.
Mm.
And he was paid probably $50,000 to make that speech.
Oh, my goodness.
That was horrible, wasn't it?
I can give you one more quick one. That's
very quickly. Very quickly.
Convince the audience that you are their friend who has their best interest at heart.
You got to be sincere to do that, though, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Gene, thanks for being here. Give us the website one more time.
www.presidentlincoln.com.
Gene Griseman, ladies and gentlemen. He's our friend. Thanks, Gene. See you next time.
Thank you.
Happy President's Day. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.